Come back to order. The commission will come to order. Mr. Kapler, you have just one little thing that you want to bring to our attention.
Yes, Madam Chair. Members, Phil Kapler, St. Paul Teachers Retirement Fund. And I'm hoping that somebody would be gracious enough to offer this amendment, but I think it merits your discussion. The State Auditor's Office brought language to your last meeting that you acted on, and the language that I'm referencing is on page 101, lines 33 through 35. The issue here from the Auditor's Office standpoint was the funds are able to invest in commingled funds or mutual funds, where we don't, it's like a mutual fund that you or I might invest in, where you own a unit share of the fund, you don't actually own the underlying securities. It's a participation in a pool. In those pools, we may have managers who would invest, I mean, in the case that I'm going to reference is an international equity manager who buys stocks of foreign corporations. We hire them to manage an international portfolio for us in this commingled fund, but we don't have our accounts separated. And in that fund, the standard trust agreement for those funds includes the opportunity or the option to allocate assets to other asset classes if it looks to be advantageous to the fund. So, and the standard language usually gives them discretionary authority to go to 5 or 10% in emerging market equities outside of the developed countries. The language that was adopted by the commission on page 101, lines 33 through 35, in effect takes that portion, which has not been done here before, at least we've never interpreted the law that way, takes that portion of those funds and allocates them to this other assets group considered alternatives, considered more volatile and risky. And if we do that, it's going to put a constraint on us. Frankly, when this issue was brought up, I knew that I wanted to talk to my board members and our investment consultant before raising it with you. But having done that, our investment consultant is telling us we're going to have to get a little more aggressive with our investment portfolio. Private equity is probably going to have to increase in its percentage of assets. We will probably have to do value-added real estate private equity funds, and the board is seriously considering increasing its allocation to emerging markets directly. The effect is that this provision is squeezing out the amount of room that we have to do that. And I know the legislature wants to put a cap on these things, but we can't really hope to get to our targeted rate of return probably over the next 5 years unless we do increase our allocation in here. The 20% cap is going to be problematic for us if we're going to carve out those portions of accounts that are really dedicated to above-the-line asset classes into this other assets class category. So what we were proposing, if the commission thinks that it makes sense, would be to establish a dollar threshold, perhaps with different limits, and propose perhaps $100 million be applicable to the 20% cap, so funds with $100 million or less. On line 101.34, well, no, I'd actually back up to line 101.33 after the parentheses before the word the, for plans with assets of less than $100 million, and the rest could remain the same, down to line 101.35 after the word investing, a comma, with the phrase for all other plans, the limit is 30%. So it create two groups. Funds with over $100 million in assets would be subject to a 30% cap, and funds with less would be at a 20% cap. And I suggest it that way because I think the auditor's office primary concern was with the smaller local plans, the volunteer firefighters, but I don't want to speak for them, and they may have thoughts on the direction that we're suggesting perhaps going here, and you may want to talk to them at this time.
Right. Ms. Allen.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Rose Hennessy Allen, Pension Director, Office of the State Auditor. Proposal, this is something that our working group had suggested. And under current law, if a pension plan invests in a commingled or a mutual fund, even just a small portion of that fund holds something that would be considered an other investment, the entire market value of that investment counts toward the 20% cap. And what we found is that volunteer fire relief associations that want to get into stock or bond investments usually do so through mutual funds. And a lot of balanced mutual funds have a very small other component piece. And so they were getting hit with that 20% cap, even with only small portions of the mutual funds actually in other investments. Our office wouldn't be opposed to allowing plans with over $100 million going up to a 30% cap for others.
So you have no objection to Mr. Kapler's suggestion?
Madam Chair, that is correct.
Representative Kahn.
It came in late, so maybe this was said, but there are two problems here. One, the idea that if you're dealing with a mutual fund and this mutual fund has a tiny bit in other and then the whole mutual fund is covered, that kind of seems as if that could be dealt with separately. But as totally removing, you know, every place when people have gotten into trouble, it's been with this other category, and that's the problem that people got into trouble with now, with, you know, the real estate and the folk investing in the foreclosed properties and that kind of thing. So I'd much rather deal with how we define other when a small amount of it is with this problem that's been presented before us, where if you're investing in a mutual fund and it has a tiny bit in other, that the whole mutual fund is counted for that. I'd rather deal with that than just increasing the amount for other, because I think we kept that low for a reason.
Mr. Kapler.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, members, I think this is a policy question, and it's the sort of thing the Pension Commission should be discussing. I wish we'd have had this discussion earlier in the session, but in the other assets class, I mean, some of these things are riskier. Some of them are just less liquid, would be what I would really characterize them as. I mean, the long-term rate of return or the average rate of return on private equity, if you've got a median fund or better, is going to be, you know, 4 to 5 percentage points above what the S&P 500 is going to do. The difference is you're locking up your money in a less liquid market, which is a different issue from risk of loss for a pension fund. Emerging markets, the markets are changing. Emerging markets generally are not the risk that they were. There's been a lot of convergence, really, and I don't think that they're the risk, and I don't think most people in the investment field feel that they're the same risk that they were 10 or 15 years ago. Those countries are getting their balance sheets in order. They're not heavily laden with debt, a lot less than us, frankly. Their currencies are fairly stable, and their growth, their GNP growth, which outshines the U.S. and most of the developed markets internationally, is becoming increasingly organic. These people are not relying on exports of commodities to the developed world anymore for their sustenance. And our board and our consultant, I think, are inclined to believe that if we're going to meet or exceed our 8.5% target, and I think we've got to exceed it in order to get our program fully funded, just because we've got this ongoing chronic deficiency that seems to be very difficult to find money for, we're going to have to get more aggressive with the portfolio. Increasing an allocation to emerging markets or private equity in real estate value-added funds, or buyout funds seems to be a direction our consultant says is imperative for if we're going to get the kind of return that we've got to get. So, yeah, we would be taking more risk being in less liquid vehicles, but I don't think the emerging markets piece really represents the worrisome part. More than 50% of the capital market, global capital market right now, is outside of the U.S., and the U.S. consistently, the broad stock market in the U.S. consistently performs about 24th or 25th when you line us up against all the other major countries. So clearly our money is going to have to move out if we're going to get the sort of returns we need. That's why we are arguing for a larger cap. If you're uncomfortable with 30, you could trim it back to 25. I don't know if that would be a problem for our board. I just know that they were very concerned about this 20%, as was the consultant, because they see the latitude being squeezed very tightly.
Representative Kahn.
What I'm concerned about is that the difference in the in what you do when we're told what the problem is. The problem we're told is that if any mutual fund has, all mutual funds tend to have some of this other, and then you have to cover the whole value of the mutual fund. Why can't that be something that we deal with instead of just raising the amount, so that what we do is that we look at from what I understand, we're usually doing it a fairly small proportion of that.
Madam Chair and Representative Kahn, I think that issue has been dealt with in the language of this section of the bill. In total, the way that the auditor's office proposed the law change and the way that you've adopted it, it's just this one little piece down here with the 20% in it that's problematic. This is part of that solution to the moving the whole investment account into that other assets class. They've taken care of that, and this doesn't undo that. It just puts a different percentage limit for the other assets class altogether on funds based on their asset size.
Madam Chairman, taking care of that thing, as I heard the explanation, the major part of the problem, and why do we have to go further at this time?
Mr. Kapler.
Well, because the class...
Madam Chairman, since we fix that, the amount that you've got available for others should have been dramatically expanded, if I understand this whole thing at all.
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Kahn, we have not been booking, and up to this point, I don't think the auditor's office has taken the position with our fund that the whole fund had to be moved into the other assets class group if we had an IFA manager who had a 5% allocation to emerging market stocks. And they may have those for tactical and strategic reasons other than just the intrinsic price of the stock itself. It can be a transition strategy for them or a way to get into currencies. But if that was the case for us, we weren't booking the 5% emerging markets as being included under that other limit. We were treating the whole account as an IFA account and above the line, if you will, heretofore. I think the interpretation has been derived based on a more exacting and more strained interpretation of the statute that the auditor's office has taken. It's a fairly recent development. So it hasn't been a problem up to now.
Madam Chairman, as far as I see, by making the change which we've made in here, we've freed up capacity to go into that other part because we changed the definition of what's occurring in a mutual fund. And I don't understand why we have to go further at this time.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, based on the way that the law has been interpreted to date...
But we're changing, as I understand it, we're changing the law.
We haven't been given any new wiggle room by this language. If any, we have less... because a portion of the assets of accounts that were not under this other assets limit will now be included under that other assets limit based on the interpretation.
Ms. Hennessy Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Kahn. For most of the funds that we work with, in particular the Volunteer Fire Relief Associations, they will have a lot more room now to get into the other investments. I think with St. Paul Teachers, they were already more heavily invested in other, which is why they were close to that cap. And you know, based on some interpretation, I believe, with our audit staff, you know, may have exceeded that 20% depending on how things were classified. So this change will, as it was originally drafted, would give a lot more room for most of the plans to get into other investments.
And why do you think that's a good thing?
Ms. Hennessy-Allen.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, again, for the Volunteer Fire Relief Associations that we work with, most of those plans get into their stock and bond investments through balanced mutual funds. And most of the balanced mutual funds that we see them investing in have a small component that would be classified as other, maybe only 2 or 3% of the total market value. You know, they're not, you know, bad investments. They, you know, just happen to have a small component in, you know, unrated debt or, you know, junk bonds.
Sure.
If they currently, you know, with the entire market value of that mutual fund counting toward other, we're seeing that most of those plans would be exceeding the 20% threshold.
I understand that. Yeah, I understand that, but we're now changing that. So you're giving them more wiggle room than the other. Now, why does St. Paul need more wiggle room than that amount of wiggle room?
Mr. Kaplan.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, this wouldn't give us more wiggle room than we have now. This would, I mean, give us less in our view, because this makes it explicit and clear that those portions of accounts and funds that we were not putting any portion of under the other assets class would now be clearly, it would have to be carved out of the above-the-line accounts and funds and put under this limit. And we can escape that by doing separate accounts, not doing commingled funds as an investment vehicle. But when you do that, particularly with international equities or bond fund, the costs of custody go up dramatically, and the cost of managing those accounts, the fees are higher, and the cost of custody are radically higher when you do that as a separate dedicated investment vehicle. So we do them through these commingled funds. All these commingled fund contracts are going to include a discretionary allocation to emerging markets, and particularly when you're looking at international investing. So that's the conundrum for us. If we try to invest as cheap as we possibly can, at the lowest possible cost and get the exact same exposure to the market, we're going to get burned. And the only way that we get around this issue of carving out a part of those accounts and putting it under this other assets class and constraining what we can do in every other area under the other assets class, we'd have to split the money out and do it in separate accounts, which is going to be a lot more expensive. Defeats the purpose.
What if all your Madam Chair, what if all your investments was just an index fund?
Well, St. Paul Teachers has had pretty darn good run on investment returns, and one of the reasons that we've got such good numbers is because we do have a significant allocation of assets to active management. If we were indexed, especially in the kind of market that you're in now, it's when the market's turning down, that active managers should generate the most value for you. This is when we're relying on them most heavily. It wouldn't do well for us, be our general assessment.
Mr. Rice.
Madam Chair, this might be maybe like the Geico commercial, 30-second if I could. If you would look at page 101, line 5 to 9, this is what Mr. Kaplan was talking about above the line. Commingled and mutual fund investments are permitted now. And what Mr. Kaplan, I think, is saying is that it's been their investment advisor's interpretation that if you had a commingled account or a mutual fund investment and it was predominantly in large cap or EFA stock and there was a small component of emerging market, when you did the allocation to fit the auditor statute, all of it was considered above the line and none of it was below. With the clarification that the auditor's office is doing to basically parse out each portfolio in a mutual fund and say that you're limited to 20% in total to emerging market or this other one, the effect of this clarification is going to put some investments that the St. Paul teachers currently have that are treated above the line to this below the line category in emerging market. And what their investment advisor is saying is when you add in real estate, which they have, and other things, they're now starting to push close to the 20% limit. And so the auditor's office is doing a good thing by clarifying this for the volunteer relief associations and including my clients, Minneapolis Police and Fire, where we started to see this problem. But it was in curing this one problem, they've now created a situation for St. Paul teachers that the clarification, and now that the practice is absolutely clear, St. Paul's going to have to start treating some of their international commingled funds where a piece is in emerging markets, that's filling up this lower bucket. And combined with their real estate allocation, they're starting to push the 20% category.
And how well did St. Paul do with their real estate allocation last year?
I don't know how they did real estate allocation, but under the state...
I'm interested in their real estate.
Okay. Representative Kahn.
Madam Chairman, I'm interested in how well, since the real estate allocation is part of this other category, I'm interested in how well you did in the real estate allocation.
Madam Chair, Representative Kahn, I think...
Mr. Kapler.
We are... We did better than the median fund, but our real estate allocation, is not in the other assets class. That's included. We're invested in a core commingled equity fund in real estate, which is outside of this other assets, less liquid, perceived to be more risky group. The vehicle that we're in is included above the line, which is it's kind of a bread and butter, 90% occupied facilities. There's no real estate development going on in there. These are all developed properties that are generating money. So it isn't considered to be in this other asset class. But we did slightly better than our benchmark.
Madam Chair.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess I'm hearing Representative Kahn ask if there's another way we can change this. And I guess the question I have is they're talking above the line, below the line. Are these rules that we can change in state law, or are these federal laws that we can't change, that you're being forced?
Mrs. Hennessy. Allen.
Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, it's my understanding that we could clear this up through state law. Mr. Kapler, do you have any?
Mr. Kapler.
Madam Chair, Representative Nelson, yes. Minnesota is a legalist state. We have parsed out and split out the types of investment vehicles and been very specific about what pension funds can invest in and what they cannot invest in. And it may make sense for very small funds. Most states don't do this. They have a fiduciary standard for investing assets that specifies what kinds of risks can be taken and attached to that, the prudent person rule. But most states are guideline-driven in their statutes. Most states don't have a legal list with very tightly specified limits for each asset class or type or group. Minnesota's not the only state that does that, but we're definitely in the minority.
Representative Nelson.
So the short answer is that, yes, we could change this somewhere by in law, some other way than doing this is the question, is the answer. But the 20% or this limit that require makes this, if it's makes it part of this 20%, if it's even a little piece of a mutual fund, that's also state law, or is that that's what this is? Okay.
Does anyone in any of the plans that other plans that make more than $100 million want to weigh in? Oh, Mr. Stoffel.
I'm going to say good evening, but good afternoon, Madam Chair. I don't know if it's quite evening yet, but yes, we have over $100 million in assets. We have about, round numbers, $350 million in assets. And I guess I'm confused by a little bit of the discussion. If this language were to include all index funds, such as domestic, as in S&P 500 index funds, that's currently, I'm trying to remember, somewhere in the neighborhood of 25% of our asset allocation. We're over the limit right there with one fund. We do a lot of index and commingled fund investing to save fees. And if we're to include all of our international and domestic in, no, it's not, okay, as long as it's, that's my biggest concern is that this includes domestic index funds. If it doesn't, then our international equity component is 15% of our total fund, and that is also a commingled vehicle. So that eats up two-thirds of the 20% right there. So I'm concerned about the language of including index and mutual funds for our plan as well. I think we'd have some drastic asset allocation changes to make if this were to pass.
If the amendment, proposed amendment were passed?
Well, I didn't, Madam Chair, no, if the language in the bill passes as it's stated, I didn't realize this interpretation existed of our international equity commingled account. Oops.
Ms. Hennessey-Allen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Just to clarify, the international equity, only emerging market international equity is classified as an other investment.
Madam Chair, therefore then the an EFA type account, domestic or developed markets international equity is not included. Is that correct?
Ms. Hennessey-Allen.
Madam Chair, members, developed market international stock fund would not be considered an other investment and not subject to that 20% cap.
Madam Chair, with that clarification, I'm comfortable with the language in the bill as it is.
Thank you. Mr. Kapler.
Madam Chair, if any member of the commission were willing to move the amendment that we discussed earlier as a possible amendment, we'd be eternally grateful. I think the fact that we've had to lean so heavily on Ms. Hennessey from the auditor's office for advice on how to read the statute. If nothing else, this has been an exercise in what a tangle and a spaghetti junction this law actually is, and if we can come back and simplify it at some point in the future, whether you decide to change that percentage threshold and apply a different percentage to different size funds, that might be a worthwhile exercise in a future session.
Well, Representative Kahn.
I'd be much more comfortable with fixing the whole thing up so that it makes sense and so that it's not somehow increasing this investment in something that we've decided should be limited just because we're looking at interpretation of the language. And particularly if St. Paul is the only fund that's looking at it. And, you know,
Representative Thiessen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, as I understand it, right now you're pushing the 20% limit with your kind of traditional other investments. And this interpretation takes that portion of all your kind of regular mutual fund investments that I have in my 401k and that other people have, but that fall within the asset class that would be other investments, and add that percentage on top of the 20%. And so, because of that, you're going to be required to reallocate some of your pretty safe investments, which are kind of these typical mutual funds that include domestic stocks, a large cap, small cap, as well as some of these other investments as a small percentage of them. Is that what this is getting at? And so if we go up to 25%, that solves your problem, and you're going to have a little more flexibility. You're not going to have to reallocate all your investments. I mean, what this would force you to do, basically, is sell all those mutual funds that include these small little bits and find other mutual funds that don't have those small little bits. Or sell off some of your other investments, I guess. Is that
no. Mr. Kapler?
Madam Chair, Representative Thiessen, that's sort of the picture. Except what we're at is we're not exactly pounding on the 20% right now. Based on this interpretation, we get much closer to it. And what this is doing is make it very explicit that we have to include those portions of commingled funds under this limit. That wasn't 100% clear before. The audit's office is making that more clear. The legislature is by adopting the proposed language. But more to the point, what it does is it constrains us. We're not in excess of the 20% now. It does constrain us. We're going through an asset liability study right now, and we believe the consultant's going to come back and advise that more assets be placed in assets within this other group. Our board's a fairly conservative one. They're not going to get too radical, but we are probably going to have to get more aggressive and put more assets in here. If we're going to meet or beat our 8.5% target over the next 5 years, that's as long a window as we can look And the 20% would present a serious constraint. 25% would be some help, but I can see us easily going up to 25. And I mean, I think we've aired all the issues. If the commission's still uncomfortable with this, then I just apologize for taking up your time. I think it's been a worthwhile discussion, but a little late in the process to be doing it. So, I mean, if the commission's really uncomfortable with increasing that threshold, now we can come back to this and talk about it next year, Madam Chair.
Are you going to hit the 20% in the next year?
Madam Chair, we could, yes. That's really kind of, some of these things are driven by the markets. So as the U.S. stock market declines in value, if that doesn't turn around fairly soon, if our bond portfolio deteriorates in value, what does that do to the assets in dollar terms that we put into the other assets class? It drives them up as a percentage of the assets. So we think we're in compliance one day at 18%, and 2 weeks later we're at 22, and that can happen. By movement in the value of securities in other asset classes, completely unrelated to what's going on in the other assets class. And that's kind of another confounding issue with these strict percentage limits, with these allocations.
Representative Kahn.
What would Buffett do? Madam Chairman, there's a very interesting article, I think, in the Wall Street Journal that said that if people just took, they didn't even have to know what he was thinking about. If people just took Warren Buffett's investment strategy and just as it's published followed what it was, it would improve most investment portfolios. Just do what he does after it's publicly announced, and it's still better than what all these people are thinking of on their own.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess what I would say to that is, I don't know why we have fund managers. We might as well just manage these funds by the legislature if this is how we're going to micromanage stuff. But
no, I think we ought to do it according to serious financial advisors and not just
the
Wall
Street. That's not saying Warren Buffett.
Well, I...
So, all right. Anyway, it doesn't look like anybody's going to move this, so I think we ought to just move on.
Thank you. If you, Ms. Hennessy, if you think of a different approach that would be helpful in the next week. Let Senator Betzel know before he takes it to his next committee, and know before I take it to my next committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Mr. Fleming, Ms. Blau. Amendment 26A. You've met, you've talked. What's the result?
Madam Chair, Julie Blyle, Legislative Director, AFSCME Council 5. The result is we will support the amendment.
Amendment 26A. I move adoption. Any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Betzel?
Mr. Fleming, let me ask you a question. You know, I'm looking at the minutes for April 8 when this bill was discussed. And you testified interest in receiving similar treatment, whatever that means. I mean, that you testified. That was 2 weeks ago.
Yes, sir.
We have an amendment that's dated this morning, 11:29 a.m. When did you come up with this language?
This morning, sir.
Madam Chair, Mr. Fleming, I've been on this commission for 12 years. One of the things I can count on is that you're always going to come in at the last minute with something that you haven't talked to anybody about, it hasn't been worked through. And, Mr. Fleming, I'm losing patience. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Point well taken. I did not talk to Senator Betzel, and he is co-author of your original bill. That's a serious oops on my part, and I apologize.
Madam Chair, Mr. Fleming, this goes on every year. You come in at the very end, every single year, with something right at the end that, you know, all of a sudden you're lobbing in our laps. Mr. Fleming, this has to stop. If you're going to come in, get a bill introduced, have a timely amendment, whatever. But coming in on the last day every single year is just outrageous. I'm not going to put up with it anymore.
Is there any further discussion on Amendment 26A? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail. Is there any other amendments to come before us? Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to address the commission about House File 30825A as amended?
Madam Chair.
If not, Senator Betzel.
I will move that the draft H3082-5A as amended be adopted as the omnibus pension bill for House File 3082 and Senate File 2720.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
I have a question whether it would be fruitful or not if I could direct your attention to page 19, line 8. This was on the bill that I carried relative to the MAC retirement annuity, and the date that we left it at that time for the extension was December 31, 2008. I made an offhanded request if that could be 2009 at the time. Ms. Vanek testified that their group was meeting a couple of days later, so there was nothing further done at that point. I think she's here in the audience, may have heard from her subsequent to that. Would it be fruitful or fruitless to pursue a motion to make that date 2009 at this time?
Well, I'll withdraw my motion so we can pursue Senator Representative Smith's issue.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Ms. Vanek?
Madam Chair and members, Mary Vanek, we did take this to the board, and they did support moving the date out to 2009.
Madam Chair, I would so move that amendment.
Representative Smith moves adoption on line 19.8 of delete 2008 and insert 2009. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other members? Senator Betzel.
I will renew my motion that House File, the document H3082-5A as amended, be adopted as the Pension Commission bill for House File 3082, Senate File 2720.
Any further discussion? If this passes, Senator Betzel, what happens over in the Senate with this bill from this point on?
Madam Chair, Senate File 2720 is one of the is a bill that is right now in the Senate Government Operations Committee, State and Local Government Operations Committee. We will take this amendment as a delete all amendment and adopt it in that committee. And then and I imagine the same thing will be done in the House, and then it'll be presented to the GovOps Committee. Because we have a fiscal issue with the actuary, it'll have to probably go to the Senate Finance Committee before it gets to the floor. But that's the steps we would go through.
Okay. And in the House, it will also go to Government op, but I've got them convinced it's not a fiscal matter.
Okay, well, we'll take a look at that.
Or up to this point, yeah. I did. Members of the House, members of the House, I would like you to volunteer for which parts you would like to take on the floor and be responsible for. And so that we all have a part. This is our bill. And you've all been just great, and I really appreciate it. And thank you, Senators, for your input, and I appreciate it so much. And I imagine we'll see each other again at the conference committee. So,
should there be any change?
All in favor of adoption of the Betzel motion, signify by